My sermon today is just pretty brief. It's only got really one point to it. And that point, I just forgot. I caught up in my own thing there or whatever. What was the point of it? Oh, I remember. Everybody today, last night, everybody, no matter what God they follow, no matter whether they're a secular person or a religious person, was making resolutions about how they were going to be healthier, wealthier, wiser, thinner, better, going to spend more time with their families. Probably nobody said, I'm going to spend less, right? I mean, those are the resolutions that the worldly people make. You are called to something greater. You are called to something better. It isn't that we can't desire that. Who doesn't want to spend time with their family? Who doesn't want to be thinner? Even stick people want to be thinner. You know, it's just an amazing thing about us. We can just never be thin enough, tall enough, tan enough, blonde enough, rich enough. There's always something. And yet, here's the thing. We are a peculiar people. A people called to holiness. A people who have been purchased at a price. A people who are called to lay down those lives in order that God's great and glorious will might be done through us. So today is one of those days where Christmas and the message of Christmas, you know, God is with us, right? It's baby Jesus in a nutshell. God is with us. Here he is. In the flesh, he entered into our world. Isn't that great? He's not going to leave us alone. He's with us. Well, here's the thing. As you enter into 2017, remember, he's with you. So don't be afraid. He's with you. Let's push the limits. He's with us. Let's not be afraid to lay down our lives because he's right there to give us back to us again. So here we go. What is the attitude that we need to have when God is with us? Because isn't that what y'all believe? God is with you. Amen? So how do you live with that kind of attitude? God is with me. I mean, here's the thing. Look around the room. Some of us are going to die this year. What does it mean to die when God is with you? It means you die strong, right? Are you afraid? Well, yeah, of course. Why? Well, because I don't know. You know, I can't see what's beyond the door. I don't know what could be there or whatever. But here's the thing. God's with me. And I know that where I go, he's going to go. Because the scripture says, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. Some of us are going to get sick this year. Scared because don't know the outcome. Scared because we hate to have our bodies, you know, let us down or whatever. And here's the thing, the older we get, the more they do it. And that's just how it is. But God is with us and he's got a plan for that. And you can glorify him even in the midst of pain. Because you can show the world how a follower of Jesus suffers. It's a great privilege. Oh, what a horrible, depressing sermon this is, right? But see, that's the gospel, isn't it? 2017, you people need to remember that the world that we live in needs a Savior. Do you believe that? And why does it need a Savior? Because it's a sinful, fallen place, right? So why do we get bent out of shape when things don't go our way and everything isn't happy-dappy every day, right? Today was a perfect day. Tomorrow should be a perfect day. And we're mad on the third day if it's not perfect. And the fourth day should be perfect. And the fifth day should be perfect. Why? Because we're good people. Because we endure depressing sermons from Pastor John. Because we go to church. Because we went to college or trade school or whatever. Because we kept our noses clean. Because we done it all right. And somehow that's supposed to make the difference, as if what we believed is that if you do good, you're going to get good in return, when Jesus tells us the best good, the highest good, is to follow him, and when you do, the world's going to hate you. We get it so tangled up and messed up. And we just want a quiet, good life until we get bored, and then we want an exciting, good life. And then after we're tired, we want a quiet, good life again. So hard. But he's called us to something better than that. A life that's lived for him. A life that when we lay it down, he comes through and he can do amazing things. You know that whole reconciliation thing that Sherilyn was talking about? This year, some of us need to bury the hatchet. No, wait. We need to take the hatchet, dig it up, and beat it into a plowshare. Make something grow. It's time. Jesus died on the cross for us. We need to lay down our lives and put down our weapons. And we need to embrace our adversaries. We need to forgive. It's the gospel again, where it really meets the world. Gosh, I'm not even going to get to Hezekiah. Poor old Hezekiah. He's king of Israel. Hezekiah had this amazing life. Hezekiah was a righteous man. If you look in 2 Kings 18, it tells a little story about him. And here was the thing that you need to know about him. He was 25 years old when he became king. Isn't that perfect age to become king? I think so. 25, that was great. Do you remember being 25? I remember being 25. Yeah. Healthy? Oh, yeah. It was good. He reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. See, he did the right thing. Just as his father David had done, and he removed the high places, and he smashed the sacred stones, and he cut down the Asherah poles, and he broke to pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made. Just in case you wondered, whatever happened to the bronze snake that Moses made in the dark? Here it is, old Hezekiah smashed it to bits. And you say, wait a minute, that is destruction of an ancient article. That's like some kind of crime. Send Hezekiah to The Hague to be tried for it. What did he do it for? He did it because, even though it's a holy relic, what did we wind up doing with it? We wound up worshiping it. And see, isn't that the way we are? We take something that means something, and we turn it into an idol. That's just how we are. John Calvin said that the human mind is an idol factory, and that's what we do. We just find stuff to worship, anything but following Jesus. We want to systematize everything. Why? Because we don't want to think about it. We don't want to struggle about it. Why don't we want to struggle about it? Because when we struggle, there's this aspect of struggle that involves laying down our lives. Not doing what we want to do. And we are people who just want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it. And everything is right with the world as long as we get to do that. And then this terrible thing happens to Jerusalem. The Assyrians show up and they encamp around it. And they make all kinds of problems for Hezekiah. And they're going to capture his city. And they're going to put it to the sword. And they're going to burn it down. And Hezekiah's afraid. And he gets a hold of a letter that they send to him. And he takes it to the temple. And he reads it to the Lord. And he says, God, you can't let the Assyrians do this because you are a great and wonderful God. And God says, you bet I am. And I'm going to deliver you. Wouldn't that be great? Can you imagine some horrible thing coming at Des Moines, right? And what do? We pray and we say to God, you're mightier than this great thing. And God says, uh-huh. And he does the thing and our whole city is delivered. Isn't that magnificent? And what a testimony of faith. Who wouldn't believe in God after that? And who wouldn't believe that God is capable of doing all kinds of things? 2 Kings 20, Hezekiah then takes ill. He's delivered. The angel comes through the camp of the Assyrians and he slays, 85,000, 185,000, I don't remember, with some plague. The city's delivered. And then poor old Hezekiah gets sick. And he thinks he's going to die. And he cries out to the Lord, "Will you save me?" God does. And then the Babylonians come around. And they're clever people. They just came as a diplomatic mission. And so Hezekiah showed him everything that was in his closet. He had gems and gold and swords. And I mean, he just had all kinds of riches. And Isaiah said to him, "What'd you show them all that for? Don't you know they're going to come and try to take it away?" And Hezekiah says, "What's it to you? I just felt like doing it. It's mine." He got a little prideful, didn't he? And then the poor thing about Hezekiah is that Isaiah goes to him and says, "Well, Hezekiah, here's the thing. Your grandchildren are going to be carried off into exile at the hands of the Babylonians. And here's my sermon." You know what Hezekiah said? "Oh, well, at least my reign will end well." And Hezekiah slept well that night. People, something really bothering me a lot. And that is that you and I cannot afford to have the attitude of Hezekiah. Not when it comes to the future of this great city. We can't just say, "Well, you know, we could see the storm clouds on the horizon, but thank God we're going to pass on to our rewards. Thank God the struggle will be over. Thank God we're not going to have to deal with that," and just let it go. Sometimes I worry that that is our temptation. I can see it, you know, all the time. We're getting ready for a big transfer of leadership in many corporations. And, you know, some of these guys, when you read the stuff that they're saying, it's almost like, "Look, as long as it doesn't fall apart on my watch, it's fine. Let the next guy deal with it." And it's like, well, that's not a really enduring philosophy, is it? And when it comes to the spiritual state and the spiritual future of our city, that's not an enduring philosophy for us either. And what I'm going to tell you is this, that I believe that the God of grace and glory meant for the church to be at the pivotal points of a city's future like now. And you see, you're already there. Over the course of these last years, you have done amazing things. And there are all kinds of doorways and opportunities that are open to you to go through. There are all kinds of relationships that you have built. And I believe it was for such a time as this. And what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the struggle that is to come in our great city. And what is it as we look into 2017? Well, did you read the article in there that the city's going to double in size? Maybe not all of 2017 and all at once. But that's a pretty big thing for a city to do in a couple of decades. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? That's going to be like rapid growth. It will overwhelm infrastructure, schools, and everything else. And here's the deal. How are we going to handle it as a city? Well, we have a great mighty God. But you know, somebody needs to take God into those situations. Somebody needs to go and to be the voice of love, the voice of reason, voice of hope, the voice of faith, pointing to a future that God has not abandoned us and that we should do things the right way. Challenges in our cities in terms of immigrants and refugees because the system is overloaded. We have difficulty resettling people well. And I'm saying that, and look, I realize that it could be a controversial statement, but it is absolutely true. Because we keep getting more and more people and with less and less money to resettle them. You could say, oh, well, that's a policy problem and you need to increase the money, but here's the deal. I don't think that's going to happen. So here's the deal. If it's going to be done and it's going to be done well and we don't wind up alienating people who are new to our community through no action of their own, we're going to have to continually step up. And it's hard. And it could be exhausting if we didn't remember the fact that God is with us. And if God is with us, aren't all things possible? And for the sake of love, we have to dig deep and find a way to die to ourselves and continue to welcome people. With different people come different religions. That's problematic. Just on a societal level. So what's Jesus' answer? How do we embrace people that are different than ourselves and love them with the love of Christ? That is going to cause us to get out of our comfort zone. Oh, wait, we left that back like 6,000 miles ago, didn't we? Okay. But you know what I'm saying. The human tendency is like Hezekiah. Let's get back to the comfort zone. Oh, hallelujah, I'm not on my deathbed, and here's the deal, the kingdom's not going to fall till I'm gone. Hallelujah, I don't have to watch it. No, we got to engage it today for the sake of the future, for the sake of children who aren't even born yet. Because God has given this to us. What about racism? It's creeping around all over the place, isn't it? And you know, I know that it was an election time, a cycle again, and every time there's an election cycle, race gets played into it, and it gets, you know, politicized and all the rest of the stuff, but let's just talk about the fact that it's something that we still struggle with, period. Because we're human. Because we're sinners in need of a Savior. And you see, here's the deal. How do you call people to the table and talk about it? One of the things that we have going for us that not many other places have is the fact that we got red, yellow, black, and white. And here's the thing. We follow the same Savior. We are already brothers and sisters, which means we start at a different place in a racial conversation than the rest of the world because we're already family. Gives us a leg up. I think we got to take it, and I think that we got to show the rest of the city how that's done. I think it means we're going to have some discussions and some dialogues and things. And are they going to be uncomfortable? Oh my, yes! They're going to be uncomfortable. But we can do this, can't we? Because God is with us. Amen? Question mark? And the congregation remained silent. Which in some churches means something. Here, I know it's just y'all dozed off for a minute and weren't listening. Broken families. Do you realize what problem fatherlessness is? I invite you just to come on a Wednesday night and I will introduce you to the problem that fatherlessness causes by name. That's the future. Some of these kids, no fathers, no discipline, no structure, out of control. And here's the thing, we're going to graduate them and release them on the city for such a time as this. We're here. And what do you do? Well, there is no solution beyond relationship. There's no program that can fix this. There's no amount of money that you can throw at this thing. What it means is it means you and I going to the cross and dying a little bit in concrete ways and maybe taking on some boy children in addition to those that we already have. How do you feel about having kids? Because they need you. They need to see how a family lives. They need to understand structure. They need to understand boundaries. They need to understand that in this world in which we live in, you behave differently in different situations depending on where you are. Amen? How's it going to happen? I mean, you can't just speak into the void and poof, there it is. This can't be done with a pen and a phone. This can't be done by decree. It can't be done by legislation. It can only be done when the followers of Jesus stand up and say, for the sake of the future of these kids, for the sake of the future of the city, we've got to do something. Violence. Because that's what's out there right now. I mean, have you been watching? There's a lot of violence this year. Is it the start of something? Oh, see, prophets of gloom and doom, Pastor John, that is what you are. Thanks for bringing us down for 2017. But I'm just telling you, right? It's there. It's a challenge to the city. How are we going to do it? 6 unsolved murders. That's almost half. And why aren't they solved? Well, it's because they won't talk to police, you know, witnesses won't talk to the police or whatever. Okay. Why won't they talk to police? Well, there's a problem of trust. Okay, so there are relationships that need to be reconciled. So race may have a part in all of this. So neighborhoods maybe need to be reached. But here's the thing. How is it ever going to happen if people who know the gospel aren't willing to lay down their lives and see that it happens? Is it hard? Yes. But picking up your cross, denying yourself daily, and following him is not easy. Period. Remember, he's with you. We can do this. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. There are challenges about housing. Do you know what we really need? Would you pray for this? Would you pray that somebody would just give us a small apartment complex? Because I think we could fill it pretty darn quick. Because people just keep coming, and you know what they need? They need a place to crash land, some help getting back up, and then we're going to send them back out there. And see, at the end of the day, isn't that how you get people out of poverty? It's kind of a one-to-one approach. But people sometimes just need a place to pull it together. And we keep seeing that again and again, the need for transitional housing. And we know already because the county fathers and the city fathers, and they tell us, there's not enough money in the world to do any of it. I can't believe that that's what they've actually started to say. But you see, it's true. There's no way that we can spend ourselves into a greater future. What it means is, you and I, followers of Jesus, hand-to-hand combat, in a sinful, fallen, broken world that we're a part of, to bring Jesus, because he's the only one who can fix it, into every situation that we encounter. That's a big task. I know that. But I think it's what we're called to. 2017, resolutions? Oh yeah, out the wazoo! Huge! I'm going to lose weight too. But we're called to something that is beautiful. Something that is hard. Something that is glorious, and something that if you undertake, will make known the Savior who has been born unto you, Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Can you imagine anything greater to devote your life to? Kingdom may expand, that people may come to salvation, that the world behold the glory of God, that your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is doesn't happen.